Welcome to the Better Question Podcast, where we wrestle with hard questions and seek to ask better ones. Friends, it's been a while. I have an apology to make. It's been a couple weeks since we've had an episode, and that is largely due to the fact that I lost my voice for about 2 weeks. I was struggling to even speak, and by the Lord's grace, I was able to preach on Maundy Thursday, but it's still been a battle trying to get my voice right. So instead of trying to strain through podcast episodes, I decided just to rest and recover, and we are back. There it is, creeping in. We are back almost to 100%. So look forward to the next couple weeks. We've got episodes coming. Just a quick disclaimer. We're going to be re-releasing some older episodes for some of the newer listeners on the podcast. Some of my favorites that we've done, I'm going to be re-releasing. So be sure to check out our feed. We're going to try and have new episodes every Monday going forward, with a couple re-releases on Thursdays. But looking forward to new guests coming on and all kinds of fun stuff ahead. All that to say, let's get back into it. John sent in a question. The question says, the Bible says we shouldn't go to sleep angry. Is anger a sin, and what should we do when we are mad? It's a good question. Thanks for sending that in, John. Well, I'll begin there by, I think what he's referencing is Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, there's that line, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And actually the line before it kind of answers this question. I think he was probably asking this question knowing the answer, knowing John as a friend. But it says, in your anger, do not sin. So just even in that line, the Apostle Paul is saying, anger is something you experience or feel, and in that, do not sin. So anger itself is describing an emotion. Emotions are not sin, but it is very clear that anger is a type of emotion that can lead to sin. It says, do not give the devil a foothold in the rest of the, in verse 27. So clearly, Paul recognizes that while anger itself isn't a sin, it's definitely something that can lead to sin, which is why he pleads for the reader to not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And I think there's a few things going on here. I think for one, this idea of not letting the sun go down is a reminder to us to not so much that we need to solve a problem, but if we don't address our anger in an appropriate way, if we repress it, we sort of push it down underneath, what happens, and I've seen this in my own life, is that that anger will begin to bubble out in different ways, whether that's in lashing out against someone, or oftentimes that anger, when buried deep, can lead to depression, where your undealt with anger sort of turns into something else and can be really, really destructive to our soul. And so to answer the question sort of on a plain level, anger is not a sin. But I would say that it's a danger to the Christian to ignore it, to push it away, or to react rashly because of it. So I will give you an example. I remember I was driving. It was a two-lane. It wasn't a highway. It was just a regular street. And one of the things that drives me nuts is tailgating. What I mean by that, and I'm not talking college football, pre-gaming. I'm talking about when someone drives up behind you, and I'm in the right lane, which is quote-unquote the slow lane, creeps up behind you so close that if I were to hit my brakes, that person would, no way they'd be able to stop in time. And it's clear this person is, you know, in a hurry, but instead of passing me, they just sort of pulled right behind me. Inside me, something comes up, this sort of rage. We call it road rage. You've ever experienced that? And I'm frustrated by this driver. And one of the things they actually teach you in driving school is if someone is tailgating you, just give them a little love tap. Tap on the brakes. Okay? Just to let them know, hey, buddy, you're a little close. Well, I gave this person a love tap. on the brakes. And this person just sort of ignored it and felt like he was getting even closer. And so now I'm getting frustrated. And so I do a more aggressive, I wouldn't call it a love tap, I'd call it a anger tap. I don't know. I let my road rage get the best of me. And at this point, he got the message, but was also responded with his some of his road rage of his own. So he immediately, this guy's in a big truck, by the way. I'm not saying anything about people who drive trucks, but I'm also kind of saying something. This person gets in the left lane, passes me, roars by me, clearly gives me a look, and at this point, I'm like, I don't want to give this person, a dirty look or anything. I'm not here to get in a fight. You know, I'm just trying to enjoy the road and not be in a dangerous position. So this person drives past me, and it's one of these awkward moments where we get to a stoplight, and guess what? There's no one in front of me, and there's no one in front of him, and I'm parked right next to him, and I can just feel his eyes burning. And of course, what does the guy do? Rolls down his window. And I'm just not in the mood. I'm like, I'm sorry, guy. I am not here to get into any kind of verbal altercation. I'm not interested in... but finally, I just look over and I see the guy laughing. And turns out it was a friend of mine whom I played basketball with on Wednesday nights. And the guy was just messing with me the whole time. Big sigh of relief, not going to lie. Now, here's my point. I share that story because I think oftentimes in the moment, we can be very reactive in our anger. We can say things we don't mean. We can say things to hurt people. We can respond from our flesh. So there is a piece of us that when we are angry, being able to have self-control, being able to process our emotions. But at the same time, there's an error if we go the other direction, and that's where we press it down and we don't deal with it. You may need to have a hard conversation. You may need to say something to someone and address the fact that, hey, when you said that really hurt my feelings, and here's the reasons why, and being able to have that conversation, because the reality is if you don't, things can get worse for you. Now, there's a theologian by the name of Walter Brueggemann, and he wrote a book called The Spirituality of the Psalms. And what I love about his work, it's a little book, it really is a quick read, but he has a chapter on Psalms of Disorientation. He writes about how God is one who is present in, who is participating in, who is attentive to the darkness, weakness, the displacement of life. And so the God of the Psalms is not one that isn't unfamiliar with suffering. Not a God who understands what it means to be human, but as a God of sorrows who's acquainted with grief. It's a direct quote from the scriptures. And so when we think about this, the way in which we read the Psalms, we can see sometimes there's a deep wrestling, not just with sadness and grief, but of anger. Right? We have Psalms where David is crying out of anger towards his enemy, wanting his enemies to be destroyed. One of the most prominent examples of this is Psalm 137. There's that really dark line towards the end where he writes, "Happy is the one who takes and dashes little ones against the rock," essentially saying, "Blessed is those who you know, smash little like basically like I'm so angry I want to hurt children," is essentially what he's saying. And in order to understand that in its context, it's no doubt that the singer of the psalm has seen this done to children of Jerusalem. He has these horrible images seared on his mind, and he prayed that the Babylonians would get what they deserved. If they're going to go and hurt children, they should have their children hurt as well. That's a real emotion. That's a real thing, a real raw feeling. The prophet Isaiah also announced this was a prophetic word in Isaiah 13. It says their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes, and so that there's that to keep in mind as we're reading this. But Brueggemann makes a really strong case that the complaint is a part of our cry and our psalm and our song to God. And here's where I'll land on this. When we have anger, one of the ways we can cope in a healthy way with that emotion is to acknowledge that the emotion exists, to admit that to God, and to, in a private prayer, say to God the things that make you angry and what maybe even they make you want to do. Now, by saying what you may want to do, maybe I want to punch Billy for stealing my baseball glove. Okay, that's a ridiculous example. But by saying it in a prayer of just lament and grief and anger, there's something cathartic about getting that off my chest and saying, to God, like, look, I want to do something that I know is not good. And by doing that, I believe that this is a way in which God doesn't see that and say, wow, you are a bad human being, but rather, he's not afraid of our emotion. He wants us to have conversations that are honest. And if we don't have those conversations, I think our prayer life is lacking something true. It's lacking us being truly ourselves before a holy God, maybe out of fear, out of judgments, or whatever. But man, when you read the Psalms, you see this pattern over and over again. The psalmists were not afraid to be honest and real. And so in our prayer, when we deal with anger towards a person, don't be afraid to bring that before God and to see how God might transform that emotion or allow us to cope with that emotion. And then listen to what maybe God would have us do, because I don't think that often it's enough to just complain. I think that sometimes there's a step, and that may mean having a hard conversation with someone. It may, be journaling about the issue or whatever it might be, but yeah, there's an appropriate response, a Christ-centered response to our anger, while also acknowledging that anger in and of itself is indeed not a sin. That said, thanks for tuning in. Better questions. We have more episodes coming. Can't wait for you to see them. Send in your questions to betterquestions@eastminster.org. And I look forward to having these conversations in the coming weeks. We will see you soon. Grace and peace.